put everything in one basket. Because if you have all your joys and your happiness and your hopes and everything in this one basket and something happens, what are you going to do?
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get 1 million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and I am so honored and grateful I get to share somebody who's so inspirational with all of you today. Her name is Valerie J. Walsh, and she's a best-selling author, sought-after speaker, and transformational leader who turned profound personal tragedy into a personal mission to help others rise, heal, and lead with authenticity. Her life's work is proof that even in our darkest moments, the light within us can ignite lasting change that impacts others. Through her acclaimed books, Shattered to the Core and Courageous, Valerie shares her deeply personal, unfiltered story with raw honesty and empowering insight. Her message resonates because it's real. Healing is messy, growth is brave, and leadership starts with trust from your heart center, your core. Valerie, welcome to the Daily Helping. I am so grateful that you were with us today.
Hi, Dr. Richard. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So you sent me over your bio and I just like removed 3/4 of it because I know you have a really powerful story and I knew that I couldn't do it justice. So what I usually do with people who come on the show is I am so fascinated by people's why, that pivotal moment or series of events in their lives that put them on the path that they're on today. And I know that you have a number of powerful experiences which really shaped the work that you do. And we get to chit chat a little bit before we went on the air. So I'm going to give you the baton here and I'm going to let you start sharing and we'll go from there.
Well, thank you. If that was shortened, I was like, as you're reading it on and on, I'm like, I'm all those things. Like, holy cow. But thank you for the beautiful introduction. I'll give you what I call the cliff notes of a little bit of my backstory just to establish some context for your listeners. So I was born and raised in Central New York. I was raised by a very young single mother. She found out she was pregnant with my sister when she was a senior in high school. And very shortly after that, after about 2 months after my sister was born, she found out she was pregnant again with me. So I have a sister and we're Irish twins, 11 months apart. And I was raised by this incredible, hardworking, loving, beautiful mother who did a lot of it by herself with support from family, but she struggled. So much of my life, you know, I was witness to working hard, playing hard, drinking, mental illness issues that back in, you know, the 70s and 80s, they weren't talked about as much as they are now. And flash forward to 2013. So we're going to go to like condense this really into some clip notes here. We lost my mom. So she had died by suicide. Now, in 2013, I was turning 40 years old. And I was like, don't do the math, people. Like, just, I'm a woman of a certain age. So when we lost my mom, I was old enough to have seen enough that it wasn't a surprise, but it was certainly incredibly traumatic. So when we had lost her, and I want to pause there for a second and say why I say died by suicide and not committed. I am a mental health advocate, and I like to share with people that if we are to believe that mental illness is an illness, she died from her illness. So we wouldn't say commit. That would be like saying somebody who was diabetic committed diabetes when they passed away. She died from her illness. So when she had passed away, I had this whole culmination of events. That's how life works, right? Like one bad thing after another sometimes just seems to pile on, and it did. So when we lost her a few months after that, I had all these doctor appointments set up because I was turning 40, and I was like, okay, check that box, get your mammogram, so on and so forth. And in my mammogram, about 3 months after my mom had passed, they had found some suspicious calcifications in my breast tissue, and I was diagnosed with lobular carcinoma in situ, which is really a stage zero cancer, but I was already at that time a thyroid cancer survivor. I was also just in survivor mode, meaning I just wanted to like be done with everything that was going on. How can I get to the other side of this? How can I like go back to life how I knew it, right? So I decided to have a preventative bilateral mastectomy with reconstruction. And I share that because that began the, I guess, the starting point of what became my first book. And all I did was, Dr. Richard, was I started like journaling what it was like to go through all of this without my mom. Now, at the time, I didn't know I was writing that. At the time, I didn't know I was healing by journaling and writing. The why I started journaling was because 2002, when I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, I became like my town's poster child for thyroid cancer. So like Susie was diagnosed and like, oh, call Valerie. I think she had that. And it'll be like 5, 8 years later. I'm like, I don't really remember all the fine details, like what doctor, what medications, all, you know, all those things. So I knew when this happened, I just wanted to take some notes. That way, if I had to help somebody else through it and give them, you know, some advice, I could just, you know, look back at those notes and be like, this is what you can expect. This is what I went through. Let me share. And I was writing those notes. I started writing what it was like to go through this without my mom. And I spent that entire almost 2 years going through my recovery, just journaling. Then I put that away. So flash forward to the pandemic, and in my profession now, I'm in aviation, so I wasn't really working much. I look back and I'm like, I have all these notes, and now I have 7 years of perspective and healing behind me. And some choices I made, mental health advocacy being one of them. And that's when I penned my first book, my manuscript, my memoir, Shattered to the Core. And we can get into that in a little bit. But that's where I really took a turning point and decided, you know what? I'm going to share my story because I know what it did to my mother when she closed off and pretended to be fine when everything wasn't. And I discovered in doing that, the more I shared my story, the more it healed me. So it was really very rewarding to share my story and hear other people's stories. But also, I couldn't believe how many people related to a lot of what I was going through.
Which is remarkable, right? Because when you'd sit there and think about a family member who takes their life and then two bouts of cancer, the average person would probably think, yeah, nobody goes through this. Like, this is just unbelievable how much I've had to bear. And yet your experiences, you know, from Susie calling you about thyroid cancer 7 or 8 years later to now, you know, you're a very open advocate about what happened with your mom and, you know, about overcoming cancer. And so it's a perspective that's interesting, right? Like, we chatted a little bit before, and I've been very open publicly about some of the things I went through, a car accident that broke my spine and a stroke, and I am grateful for those experiences. But the more that I do this show and interview people like you, I realize, my God, like, a lot of us have trauma. A lot of us have been through things. And what's fascinating about trauma, I know there's the clinical side of trauma and you have to have this symptom and that symptom. Trauma is very personal. All of us have trauma, and trauma can be getting screamed at by a bully when we were six. Or trauma can be having a loved one pass away. So I love that you're doing what you're doing. I also love that you had years and years of notes and very real and raw documented experiences. And you shared that in Shattered to the Core. So let's go there for a few minutes, if you will, Valerie. Let's talk about Shattered to the Core.
So it's funny. I want to go back to what you said about trauma and it being so different for everybody. And, you know, they say if you don't deal with it, it's going to rear its ugly head someday, right? Somehow, in a way that we wouldn't maybe sometimes never even expect it to manifest. And I want to share a story of So before I got into the profession I'm in now, for 25 plus years, I was in health and fitness. I worked as a trainer. I worked as a group exercise instructor. Like every class that you could take at a gym, I probably taught it over 25, 30 plus years. And I decided I wanted to get my yoga certification, because why not add that on my plate right after I lost my mom? Like, yeah, because I was staying busy, right? So I go to get my yoga certification. One of the things that we did was this particular practice, because they would invite yoga practitioners from different types of yoga practices so we could see which one we would gravitate to. Anyhow, we did this one particular practice, and she was having us do these postures in a certain sequence. And I went home, and that night I had a horrible migraine, horrible. And so I emailed the teacher because she wanted to know our feedback. And she said, oh my gosh, if I had known that you had just lost your mother, I probably wouldn't have had you do that particular sequence, because we hold a lot of the trauma in our fascia. And this particular sequence had us twisting and bending and really challenging our fascia, especially around the hips. And she's like, it's no doubt that you probably unleashed some trauma you weren't ready to unleash. And it came out in a migraine. So when I wrote Shattered to the Core, you know, and I appreciate being on a podcast such as yourselves and all the other shows, you know, it's never about selling books for me. It just isn't. It's always about that platform to be able to go and speak on podcasts, speak to other people in recovery, speak to other leaders who want to be authentic leaders to lead from the heart. It's about telling our stories and finding your purpose in life. And I never thought that when I wrote my memoir that I would then go on to write a personal development book. And just the way things have happened, it's like there are no accidents. This word core was something that I actually trained when I was a personal trainer. I had a running group and a training group called the Core Running Group. And when I was in health and fitness, that acronym C-O-R-E stood for something totally different. The word courageous, if you look at the title of my second book, people are gonna be like, why did she spell it that way? Well, it's spelled that way to hold and honor that acronym. But now that acronym is actually a platform that I teach other leaders on how to be an authentic leader, how to lead from the heart, how to lead from a place of authenticity.
What's interesting about memoirs is it gives us the ability to look back at a very high level and see commonalities in themes, in particular directions or feelings. Your book was a memoir of all of these experiences that most people would say, I never want to go through anything like that in my whole life. What were some of the overarching themes that you discovered about yourself after writing that book?
The overarching themes, some of the things I've learned about myself is that it's okay to not say yes to everything, to not overcommit yourself, to be really intentional about what you want in your life. And especially in the field that I'm in now, I spend a lot of time on the road. I travel for half the month. So when I'm home now, I'm really super intentional about how I spend my free time. My faith and my family are always going to come first. So I don't overcommit to things that just don't feel right for me. Whereas before, I felt like I was saying yes to everything because I wanted to overcommit myself. I wanted to always stay busy. I wanted people to like me, you know, all of those things. And I've learned to just not have to control everything. That's probably one of the biggest things I learned when I was writing my memoir and going back and looking at some of the stories I shared. And, you know, I also shared that I'm in recovery. In 2017, I decided to take a different path. And it was very crystal clear for me that if I continued to be this work hard, play hard type of woman that my mom was, that I witnessed for my whole life, that it probably wasn't going to end well. Now, I'm not saying I'd make that, you know, go down the same exact path, but it certainly wouldn't have been a very purposeful and productive path that I am on now. So that was a huge thing, was to just decide, you know what, I'm not going to drink anymore. So I got sober from alcohol in 2017. And in sobriety, that's been the biggest thing I've learned, is just to let go and not control people, places, and things in my life.
Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. So the two things I heard there that I love, let go, right? There's things we can control, there's things we can't, and we can't let those things that we can't upset us. The other thing that I heard was saying no, and I don't want that to get lost for anybody with us today listening to this, because I mean, you said no to alcohol, right? After many, many years, and you were saying yes to people so people would like you to stay busy. And a lot of times we stay busy to avoid dealing with things we don't want to deal with emotionally, right? And so I think saying no is as important as learning to let go, because they're both freeing in very different kinds of ways. And I absolutely can see how those two things, different sides of a coin, helped you. And this is why, you know, 8+ years later, you're sober and being able to do amazing things in the world. So I love that.
Yeah, it's interesting because part of my work in mental health advocacy, I had the pleasure of taking this mental health first aid, which I brought to my workplace. And it's my hope one day to kind of tweak it so it's more fitting for each industry. But, you know, that's to come. So one of the things I remember learning in that was they listed like all the things you should look for if you notice that a coworker might be depressed. And it was all the things that you would kind of common sense look for, right? They're starting to become unkempt. They're showing up late for work, taking a disinterest in things that they used to like. And then our instructor, thank goodness, shared, but it could also be the exact opposite, which is what I witnessed and what I tended to do, because I have a tendency to go through acute depression. Thank goodness I've never had long bouts, but I've had my own dealings with depression for periods of time throughout my life. My first one being postpartum. That was my very first experience with depression, was after I'd had my daughter. Knew nothing about it. Had no idea what I was experiencing. And then also anxiety. So when our instructor shared, you know, also look for just a change in someone. So for example, the industry that I'm in aviation, if somebody who usually joins their colleagues for dinner every night all of a sudden doesn't, well, that's going to be a red flag. But it could be also if somebody normally likes to decompress by going back to their hotel room and having some downtime, and that's how they ground themselves. And now all of a sudden they're out and they're the life of the party. You're like, huh, a little change of personality. There might be something going on here. It's just, it teaches you to look out for those things.
This is great stuff. So I want to, I know we've been using the time machine and jumping our way forward in chunks. I want to spend a little time, Valerie, talking about your newest book, Core Ages. So why did you write that book?
When I started to pen the manuscript for Courageous, by that time I got into a position of leadership. Because there was a big chunk of time there in my career where I went from health and fitness and then into aviation. But in between, I really didn't have a leadership title. And I say title because I don't think people have to have the title, certainly by any means, to be a leader, right? It's just really positively impacting those around you and helping everybody reach their goals and their purpose together. So anyhow, when I decided to actually pen another manuscript, I said, you know what? All of this personal development that I've been doing for myself has helped me so much, like so many different tools. So I thought, why not write a personal development book and base it off of short life stories of my own? And they don't have to be as dark, so to speak, as Shattered to the Core. Like, we already went there. So why not tell some funnier ones, or, you know, some examples of raising kids, or examples of, you know, friendships, or examples of workplace, like those kinds of stories. So what I did was I took different seasons of my life, if you will, and I would tell a short story. And at the end, I give the reader courageous challenges, something they can take on in their life that might make a difference or that relates to that story. And then I leave a little space after each chapter for them to go back and really think about what they related to in that chapter and write it down. So it's the type of book you could actually open up and be like, huh, chapter 5 sounds interesting. And you wouldn't have had to read the other 4 chapters and you could get something out of it.
I've had multiple authors refer to their books as their children and their chapters, you know, too, like they're all very precious. So I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you to tell us your favorite chapter, but pick one or two and give us some examples of what the reader would get and what actionable things come from that.
So, you know, I love the chapter about pivoting. And I will share, I remember the first time I presented on that chapter, I went to my then teenage son who was still in high school. And I said, hey, I just got invited to my first athletic camp to talk to these athletes about what it means to pivot. And I think I'm going to use that episode from Friends. Remember when they use the couch?
Pivot, yeah. Pivot.
Do you think they'll like it? And like, he's like, yeah. They're going to love it. But, you know, whatever. And I had like a little PowerPoint presentation and the whole thing. And, you know, my 16-year-old kept softly reminding me that, Mom, just remember, you're the presentation, not your PowerPoint. I'm like, yeah, I got this, kid. I got this. So I stand up in front of like 300 teenagers in a summer camp, you know, for the sport that they were in. And my first opening statement was, how many of you remember that episode from Friends? And before, you know, describe it lightly, and not a one raised their hand. I'm like, oh no. But anyhow, the whole point of the chapter was a time in my life where I decided that I was going to pivot from careers. And it's such an important example, especially for kids who are in sports, to hear, like, what is, don't put everything in one basket. Because if you have all your joys and your happiness and your hopes and everything in this one basket, and something happens, what are you going to do? Or your self-worth, where's your self-worth being placed? Because if it's on a job, if it's on a sport, if it's on even on another human being, and that fails you, what are you going to do? What's going to be your response? So that's what that chapter is about. So anyhow, if that's probably one of my favorite ones, and using my career with my own kids who think that they're now 19 and 25, they think they have to have it all figured out. I'm like, hello, remember me? Woman of a certain age that shifted literally careers, you know, in her mid-40s. It was just a great example of that story. So that's one of my favorite ones to present on. And then I think that if my sister was listening, she would be really upset if I didn't say the one that she's in, but I can't remember which chapter that is.
It doesn't matter. As long as you remember the story, we're good.
Yeah.
So what's that story with your sister?
You know, that one is about just growing in your relationship with your sibling. Like, we're best friends. And if you had asked us that when we were growing up, I mean, these were, we're opposites, right? So from the time we were, I mean, little girls, yes, but I mean, certainly teenage girls, there were some hair dryers and curling irons and Aquanet hairspray getting flung across the room. We were not close to that, like, you know, flash forward as adults, especially after losing our mom, we're super, super close. So that chapter was about, you know, that little saying of your sibling is going to become your best friend someday is our story. And it's just a lovely one. And she surprised me. I remember when I had my one of my book signings and I was all set to read from a different chapter and she comes walking in. I'm like, okay, chapter 11.
You did remember the chapter 11. So, well, here's the thing, right? I think that's a good metaphor for relationships in general, because many of us, myself included, you know, fought like cats and dogs with their siblings, and now they're very close with them. And I think as we evolve, as we grow, as we go down a journey of personal development, so do how we relate to other people. And there are people that I have relationships where I'm very close with them now that if you had told me 20 years ago I would be close with them, I would have, you know, had you committed right into a facility. And there are people that I don't talk to anymore, and it's not because they're a jerk now or I'm a jerk now. It's just because we change, right? And what we want out of life, who we want to do things with, all of that shifts. So pivot, right? We can pivot, we change.
Yeah, or you go through your seasons.
Right. So I love that you framed that in seasons. Valerie, this was such a fun conversation. It went by so quickly. As you know, I wrap up every episode by asking my guests just this one question. And that is, what is your biggest helping, that one most important piece of information you'd like somebody to walk away with after hearing our conversation today?
These are not my words. Usually I give my quote, but I really think that when we're talking about pivoting today, just know that whoever you want to be, or whatever you want to become, or whatever you want to do, it's never too late. Just do little things, something small every day toward that goal. And yeah, it's just never too late to pivot.
And I've got the Friends part of that episode in my head now, so thank you for that.
Pivot, Dr. Richard.
Valerie, I've loved our chat. Tell us where people can learn more about you online.
Oh, on all the socials. I share mostly on Instagram, on LinkedIn are probably the two that they can find me. And it's very important to put Valerie J. Walsh in anything, because the other one is the writer and producer of Dora the Explorer, and she has enough support.
Yeah, she's probably doing okay. All right. And we will have links to everything Valerie J. Walsh in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, Valerie, thank you for sharing your stories with us today, for being who you are and doing the advocacy work that you do, because it is so important.
Thank you for having me on, Richard. And thank you for providing this platform. Thank you to your listeners.
Absolutely. And I want to give a thanks to our listeners as well. If you learned something today, if you're inspired, if you're going to pivot in a way you didn't expect to pivot before this conversation, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice, because this is something that helps other people find the podcast. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post it in your feeds using the hashtag MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.